All right, welcome everybody to the live stream. I need to put up our little banner. Where is the banner at?
No banner.
You know what we also probably need to have at some point is like little name tags. Look at those.
I don't know, I always got something West Virginia on.
I gotta hide the West Virginia so nobody can see it. Well, my name is Kyle.
Hopefully today the video and audio is kind of much better.
It sounds good to me so far. So we'll see if anyone, there's always someone who's a little upset about it. Cool. We got Sandra in here, Xavier, ASLS, Erickson. Awesome. So what we're going to do is answer questions over the next about hour that you may have about buying a house. But I am curious, kind of at the top, if your rent increased this past year, first I'd love to know like what city are you in? And then also how much did it change by? Because last stream that we did, a lot of people were mentioning how much their rent was increasing. It was like several hundred dollars a month in increase. People going from like $1,400 to $1,900 a month in rental increase. I'm just kind of curious, where is everyone at? Or are they seeing, are your prices the same? Are they decreasing? Are they going up? And then we'll jump into some home buying questions as well. For those of you who don't know, this is Dan. This is Dan Frio. He has a channel called The Rate Update with Dan Frio, which is linked in the title of this video. And so Dan also makes tons of educational videos about buying a home and what's happening in the current market as well. Dan, do you want to quickly touch on like what's going on in the market?
Yeah. So if you guys have been in the market for interest rates, I'll go through the economics real quick. Is about 2 weeks ago when the Federal Reserve came out and raised rates 0.25%. We thought that they were going to do that one and maybe one more. And rates eased off and they went to 5.99%. Don't be surprised if by the end of the week, this week, we might hit 7 again. So basically, here's what's happening in the background is we had some numbers come in the past couple weeks. About a week and a half ago, we had some CPI numbers, and that's inflation on the consumer side. So CPI is consumer inflation. It was actually in check. But then what started spooking the market was the jobs report came out on Friday, and they were expecting about 180,000 new jobs to be created, and there was about 550,000 new jobs. So now the Federal Reserve freaked out, and now the PPI number is the producer price index. So the inflation level on the producer level. So just think of it this way. The raw materials are here, the producers are here, and the consumer's here. Well, if the producer price index actually went up and went up a decent amount, so on the producer side, if the inflation's going there, it's going to eventually pass through to the consumer maybe, but there's a huge batch or sectors in the market right now that are just, I hate to say it, taking advantage of the situation. Look at like the oil companies. They just came out with record profits, and we're feeling the pain at the pump. So a lot of this is, I hate to say greed at this point, but that's what's shocking the markets. It'll settle down, everything will subside, and the Fed came out today and said, well, we could see the federal funds rate going to about 5.5, and we're at like 4.75 now, so there might be a little more adjustments to the Fed, but I still think the recession is going to hit us pretty quick, and things are going to start moving here fast to the negative, which should help housing, believe it or not. So check out my channel, and you'll learn on a daily basis how all this pieces together. But me and this guy, we work together, whatever side you're on.
So we're licensed in all 50 states, and we have a team of helpful mortgage advisors who would love to help. You can go to a free home loan consult right up here, winthehouseyoulove.com. But I do want to jump into, let's see, Erickson said Maplewood, New Jersey, increase of $100 a month, I'm assuming.
That ain't bad at all.
That's really not bad. I know it's still... a bummer, but compared to what we're seeing with some other people, it's not terrible. Let's see. Lovely Bori 27. Can you please explain dual agency? Is it good or is it bad? You want to take that?
Oh yeah. We starting questions. Okay.
Let's do
it. So the dual agencies is, I'm assuming they're talking about they're buying a house. They want to use the same agent and everything else. So when you're going out to buy a house, I'll explain it this way. It can be done. If I'm understanding the question correctly, you go to a house, you want to talk to the realtor that has the house for sale. It can work for you, I guess is the best way to do it. Most times you're not going to get that great of an offer between that because the agent has a fiduciary responsibility to the seller of the property. They contracted with the seller at first, and their job is to get as much money as they possibly can for that house. Okay, so then on the other side, you're trying to get it at the lowest price you could possibly get. So my analogy, it's one I've used for years, and I apologize, but it's like using the same divorce attorney. You know, you're getting a divorce and you want to cut a deal with the attorney and just say, hey, why don't you be the attorney for both of us? It usually doesn't work out great at the end. So can it work? Yes, but would I suggest it? Probably not.
Yeah, I think that's a nice concise wrap up of that. Look who it is. That guy, Rye. As always, we love it. ASLS 2884, can you qualify for a home loan while waiting for an offer in compromise from the IRS to be approved? There is no lien and pay plan will go on hold until a decision is made. Quick answer is yes. It's going to depend on the loan type of usually. You're going to need, wow, that's really big. I didn't realize that. Usually you're going to need about 1 month of payment history on that to get finally approved with that. But that likely will happen in between the time of you qualifying and closing on the home. Oh, Robin in Burlington County. Oh, it's Robin again. Welcome. Let's see. Again, my rent went from $1,320 to $1,655, sometimes $1,678 when I renewed my lease. That's definitely more than $100, which is real tough. Abraham, let's see. I'll get to your question in just... Oh, wait, no. I don't think you have a question here. Let me see. You said, hey, Dan, Kyle, we spoke a few weeks ago and are scheduled to talk in March. I'm sorry. My rent has increased from $1,340 to $1,720. What'd you say?
What's the percentage of that? What percentage increase is that? And that is that 1 year?
Let's see. That would be 380 divided by 1340. That'd be 28% increase if that is.
I'm assuming it's a year. Yeah. Or you had a 2 year lease or something like that came up. So that's crazy. I mean, it's crazy.
Let's see, Priscilla. You said I'm not entirely sure what to prioritize: save money for down payment, closing, or paying off student loans. I consolidated my private loans for a better interest rate, but I don't know what to focus on. Would you like to take that?
Yeah.
I'll give you a little first, 30 minutes.
There, or if you have student loans and you're out there, please don't do anything with them yet. Do a consultation with us first, because there's a ton of programs that we can help you work through that you're eligible. There's usually five payment options on your student loans, and most of them are income-based. So you could really get take a very bad situation, make it a very good situation without you really doing much of anything. We just took a young lady she had $200,000 in student loan debt with about an $1,800 monthly payment. We got that down to $184. So the first thing you're going to think is, well, now you're just kicking the can down the road. No, because in most cases, you only need to pay on your student loan for 10 years. So these are the things that we try to teach you in our videos and on our live streams. So please, you know, set up a consultation with us. We could walk you through or talk to you about the student loan piece. But now let's look over to the down payment and your closing costs. We're seeing more and more contracts coming in every day with seller concessions. So if I was you, I would kind of put my student loans on hold right now. I would basically just try to save money for a down payment. And if you can go with a conventional loan, you're going to need to be about between 3 and 3.5% of a down payment. And then what I would do is have your realtor, if you don't have a realtor, we can help you there as well. We're going to talk with your realtor to make sure that we're getting seller concessions to pay your closing costs. So in that case, most likely you're only going to need money for the down payment. Now we have a lot of things coming in line in the next probably week or two that we're going to go over. There's huge opportunities with down payment assistance programs. We are going to talk about that briefly tonight, but we're weeding through all the paperwork right now to make sure we get all our ducks in a row for you guys. But there's a couple programs coming out that are fantastic, especially you guys out there in California.
Oh, awesome. Let's see. 270 was the increase for ASLS 2884. But forget, if you pay a day late, they're knocking on your door. Not literally, you definitely get an email.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they definitely do. Erickson said, will you ever dive into NACA? Yes, I really still need to make a video about NACA. The hard part is like it's only offered through NACA. So we have to get like kind of third party information. So that's definitely a plan in the future. Priscilla, you are welcome. Feel free to ask another question if you have one. Free Your Mindset said, my rent went up $50 a month. Super lucky. Yeah, that's a definitely on the lower side. Jennifer, I missed a start. Where is your guest joining us from? Dan is in Chicago. Good old Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to be out there soon. I was considering like seeing if are other people in Chicago, if we did a little meetup. Could we do a little, I don't know, see who's there? No one shows up.
We'll have Hopefully fun. Not. Isn't it Wednesday, our drinking Wednesday? So I did want to bring, remember last week I had vintage Diet Coke?
Right. Huh? Ooh, what's that?
RC Cola. You would probably like it. It's a Steeler one. Mm. Just kidding. Look at the year. Was anybody born that's watching this? Can you see the year?
1973?
Yeah. I'm probably the only one on here that was born by then. So I'm just saying. So what we talk about, and the reason why I brought that up is on Wednesdays, we had a couple of people say, hey, why don't we call it Wild Whiskey Wine Wisdom Wednesday? So I bring out my props.
Oh, that guy Ray said that every once in a while, Dan, it won't go live on your channel for some reason. And I can't.
I have it right here on my iPad and we're still just spinning.
Yeah, I don't know why it does that. And unfortunately, there's not something I can fix at the moment. But I'll take a look into it and see if there's something I can do. Jennifer said, my birth year is 1973. Priscilla said, I watch your videos every week, by the way. Also, if I have a cosigner, would they need to provide 2 months of bank statements? If you're going to be using the cosigner's money for like the down payment or closing costs or any reserves, then yes. But if it's just going to be your funds for that, then they don't have to show those bank statements. Rickless Cage, currently under contract with new construction in Texas. The lender doesn't like to talk about par when discussing rates. Okay, interesting. Instead, he sends me a daily spreadsheet of rates and their cost to buy it down. A daily spreadsheet. Okay.
The guy in Texas just wanted, I got another prop here.
Hmm.
Did you know?
Wow, look at that. You got your own brand?
No, I don't. Somebody sent me this years ago. It's a brewery in Texas, and there's a town or river called Frio River in Frio, Texas. I just thought you brought up Texas, so I forgot to bring that up. So you want me to tackle that question that he had?
Yes. Yeah, go for it. Lender doesn't like to talk about par.
Well, unfortunately, you're the boss. You make the rules. You ask them what you want them to do and so forth. They should be subservient to you, you know, to a point. What I'd ask you to do is maybe just send the next time he sends you that spreadsheet, forward it over to me. My email is probably down in the description below, or send it to Kyle. Let us review it. And on that specific day, because if we can beat what they're offering you on that specific day, we should be able to beat them on the next day or any other day. So, you know, and we would be more than happy to explain to you every day what your par rate would be. That's part of our job.
Saunders said the Frio River is in Texas Hill County. And yes, I'm that old too.
Sweet.
Let's see. Sandra also said Wednesday, time to learn loan coolish. We'll take coolish. Let's see. All right. That guy Rice said question. My friend said him and his brother are co-signing together, but can't qualify for first time homebuyers because too much income anyway around this. So a first time homebuyer is not going to be based on your income. It's going to be based on if you haven't been on the title to a home in the past 3 years. So it sounds like probably what they're actually running into is more likely maybe a home ready income limit. And it's not a loan for first time homebuyers. It's a loan that has an income limit, not a first time homebuyer limit. So that's probably what they're running into.
The scary part of that is they should be able to explain that to your friends or whatever, to go back and say, you know, here's why, but there are programs available for you. So that's the tough thing is, and that's why we do these videos to explain to you guys, you know, some lenders, they might not offer the program. Some people, you hate to say it, they don't have enough knowledge of all products. and many times they lose out, but the product is available. So that's why we do consultations with you guys. We try to do that as much as we can. So then we can, you know, get all the pieces of the puzzle to help you guys. And then it goes through a few different people. I'm one of them to figure out the basically what we can do, how we can help you basically square, you know, squeeze a square peg in a round hole. So that's what we do. So I'm sorry, it's like sales pitchy today, but a lot of these are prompting that the ball's getting dropped on a lot of the lender's side, it seems like, this week.
Well, I had this conversation with my friends earlier, and I just will say really quickly, Nita, welcome, and Rhonda, I'm going to answer your questions here in just a second. I had this conversation with my friends, and it was really interesting because they were kind of asking about, like, we were talking about some of the frustration with, you know, you see a lot of videos online, they're like, about you should be making this much amount of money, or you should have this much money saved, or like, it's kind of it puts you in this really weird mindset of like, oh, I'm not doing enough. Or you see lots of information, you know, we're running into in the real estate side about you take one piece of data and a whole narrative is assigned to it. And so what I was talking with them about was like, it's really interesting to explore what is the, what's the motivation behind why people are creating content and using that as a lens to understand if the content is something you want to listen to or not, because 95% of the people making content online aren't doing it out of the goodness of their heart. And that's where I think a lot of people can fall into that trap very easily. So for example, like you and I are right now talking about real estate and we're not doing this, like, I don't know if this is like too frank, but we're not doing this out of the goodness of our heart, right? There's, we run a business and ultimately we believe that if we educate people and empower them, they likely will want to work with us and see that we have good products to offer and we have good service to offer. That's why we do this. This is part of the business. And it'd be creepy if we tried to act like we were just, you know, good people and then we happened to, oh, here's a link to work with us. It gets kind of creepy. You know, ultimately, we run a business and we think that we have a good, you know, good products to offer with home loans and would love people to work with us. That's why we make these videos. But what's interesting too is when you extrapolate that over to a lot of the other videos online, like, you know, for instance, like a lot of housing crash things, you start to look at like, what is the motivation behind why the person is making the video? Or you should be making X amount of dollars per year. What's the motivation behind it? Are they selling something and trying to kind of hide that, right? They're trying to pitch a lifestyle to assume that, you know, kind of saying like, you don't have everything you need and here's the course that's going to give you everything you need. That puts a lens on like, oh, maybe the information shouldn't have as much impact on my life because they're clearly trying to sell a lifestyle. Same thing with kind of housing crash stuff is like, when I look at a lot of housing crash narrative stuff, often when I look at like, what's the motivation behind why people are making these videos? The motivation, I don't believe, frankly, is out of the goodness of these people's hearts to say like, I want to help as many people. Because if I look at the numbers, like one of the top housing crash video or YouTube channels makes $60,000 per month in ad revenue, right? $60,000 per month in ad revenue just from promoting a specific narrative. Whether that's true or not, it is beneficial for that person to continue that narrative, even though they don't have anything to necessarily like pitch. And most of the people do have products about like, here's how to invest, yet the housing market's gonna crash. So all that's my long little tangent on top of what you said is like, ultimately, like when you're trying to wade through the sea of information online, whether you're listening to us, you're listening to other people, and no matter what the topic is about, using someone's motivation for why they're making content is really helpful for you to begin understanding, is this good advice to listen to or not? And I don't know, that's about it. This is my ramble.
Yeah, the people, and the funny part of that is, and then we'll move on, is, you know, now we're on, I think, stage 8 of the housing crash. It's gonna crash 90% that they've been saying since 2000. So now it's stage 8 or something like that. We have to, and it's always a moving target. So they keep pushing out. And the tough thing is their views continue to grow. And then we have people on here that they're dying to, I would just want to buy a house in today's market just so my house payment stops moving up. So that would be my motivation. But I'm, you know, but we're just here to teach you guys. The best thing is to hopefully show you that we're competent, we know what we're doing, and we're accessible to you guys, and we have the programs. So other than that, you know, we hope we're just trying to validate ourselves on here. So hopefully you come by, you check out this, check out our channels and other things, you learn something, and then say, hey, I'm comfortable working with you guys. So that's it. So move on.
I think I'm saying that wrong. Abiram. Am I saying that right?
I can't see it.
I'm sorry.
I'm on my phone today, guys, because I apologize for the audio and video last week was horrible.
No, it wasn't that bad.
It was
bad. Let's see. Jennifer said my rent converted to a mortgage payment, so I don't know. Jennifer, you bought when was that? I think last year, somewhere around last year. Homes by Dina said I had a $2,000 to $2,800 per month jump, so I moved out. Unfortunately, that is not uncommon.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through some other questions here.
Yep.
Robin Welch said developers are buying up vacant land everywhere in Jersey and building high-cost leasing apartments. Is that because they know some people can't afford to buy a home? It's really hard to say exactly the motivation behind what developers are doing. And I think that's going into what we were kind of talking about earlier is like, it's not helpful for us to create this narrative around, you know, just one bit of information. However, that is a very common trend is developers are making, you know, more kind of luxury leasing apartment complexes, primarily because it's a quicker way for them to make more money. It's more lucrative to make these luxury apartments for a developer than it is to make a bunch of single family homes. So that's probably primarily what it is. I don't think there's like this big scheme of people can't afford to buy a house, and so we're going to make it even harder for them. You think of these single developers, their goal as a company is to make more money. And so if making more money comes by making more expensive apartment complexes, then they're going to do that if it's better, if it's easier for them to make money over single family homes.
A friend of mine is on the board of a huge builder, and he's like, we don't even predict. All we do is we adjust quarter by quarter, make different models and go from there. And they follow the trends and they have great economists and everything else. They're not watching, you know, the daily news or the, you know, what we're watching on YouTube's on a nightly basis. They're projecting out over the next 5-10 years, where do they want to be and so forth. So they can go through, let's say the market's dropped 10 or 15%. They can go through that because they have a long-term holding position on these loans.
Yeah.
So that's what we keep saying. You know, I've been saying for the last couple of years, you know, if you're going to be in a place for at least 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, buy, even if the house doesn't change in value by a penny, your payments aren't going to move. Especially in today's market, the thing I would just like to talk about is your housing payment. I don't care if it's rent or a mortgage payment. You know, if you talked to me and said your house payment went from 2,000 to 2,400 or 2,800 or whatever, I'd be like, holy crap, what happened? Well, that wouldn't happen if you had a mortgage. But then somebody's going to come back and say, well, yeah, your taxes and insurance are going to change on a yearly basis. Not that much. And so that's that piece. So, yeah, let's move on from the housing thing because that always gets us. Nobody knows what's going to go on, especially with rates. I give you my prediction. I've done this for 34 years. I really don't know what's going to happen next week. That's the honest to God.
I do.
Yeah. Let me know.
So, no, don't know about you, but wait, let me get all my crystal balls in here.
Yeah. No, but everybody, they keep the videos. Yeah. This. Let's move on. Cause this is like
beat Dan. The
and I don't think I know, people watching this channel even care. They just,
I know what it. Dan, I know what's happening in the future. Can't you see? I'm surrounded. Oh wait, I'm sorry. I forgot. You I keep forgetting. You
I can't see.
All right, man. Okay. Let's see. Nalayer Studio said, way to keep it real. Been in sales for 15 plus years, and you just need to provide solutions to people's problems. That's it. Cassandra wants those lotto numbers. I am keeping those close to my chest. I've actually never played the lottery. I'm afraid I would lose a ton of money.
I think I played 4 or 5 times, and I lost every time.
Yeah, it sounds... Statistically, you're going to... More people are going to lose, right? Joe Does Mortgages said, I'm in New Jersey. They're trying to bring over renters from New York that are paying $4,000 a month for a studio. To be fair, a $4,000 studio is probably, well, it's probably still kind of nice in New York, right?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, studio. I know I have friends out in San Diego, and there's four of them that live in a place. They each pay like $1,500, but it's like a kind of a apartment, 3-bedroom apartment. For a studio, 4,000. That's tough, man.
Grant said build to rent is big right now. I'm definitely seeing
I haven't
more of
looked into.
those
Yeah, I haven't
coming
looked into.
out.
We got to look into that. I don't know how it works. I truly don't.
Free Your Mindset said, no, $4,000 a month isn't. There's a running joke with these slum landlords. Can you
Really?
clarify? So like, yeah, tell me more. Give me the tea of what's going on in New York.
I have
Rocket
a pretty
Mortgage
big
has.
house in Chicago, and my house payment isn't 4 grand.
Yeah, four is. That's. You gotta
A
have a
lot of
nice
money.
income. Rickless Cage said Rocket Mortgage offers a 1-year inflation buster, which reduces interest 1%, then reverts back to the note rate. Any lender programs out there that are better? Here's the deal: is the inflation buster is just a 1-0 temporary buy down. So if you've heard of the 2-1 buy down, basically it functions in the same way. The seller is going to give a credit for that amount of money. You know what? I have a calculator that does this. Why don't I pull that up?
Yeah, perfect.
Here's
So
here's a
that's their inflation buster. I try to watch all their commercials, because they do have good commercials, and they do, and they have good products. That
I'm pretty sure we have access to their 1-0 buy down on our side too. Because
everything you
like we
see out there, we have the availability to do through Rocket. We're I think the last I checked, we were their largest brokerage.
Yeah, so for those of you who are unfamiliar, like we work as a federal bank, so we're licensed in all 50 states. But we also work as a broker, meaning we work with over 80 different lenders throughout the nation. So all the big ones that you see, we work with them. And you don't get charged a fee for working with us as a broker. Brokers haven't charged fees since like before 2008. So this is my 2-1 buy down calculator. So you can go to winthehouseyoulove.com. Go over here to tools and then go to buy down. So it's not going to be the 1-0, which is the inflation buster, which I think is a little bit of a silly name. But basically, what happens with a buy down is let's say we're buying a home that's $425,000. Let's say we're doing 3% down on a conventional loan. And let's say our interest rate is a 6.75%. So the way that a 2-1 buy down works is in year one, our payment is lowered by 2%. So the payment would be $2,150 per month. In year two, our interest rate goes up by 1%, right? The 2-1. So it would go to $2,400 per month. Then year three, it goes to the normal note rate, which would be 6.75 at $2,674 per month. So then you ask, okay, where's all that money coming from? What ends up happening is that gets negotiated as a seller credit most of the time. So usually the seller or the builder is going to pay for that. In this instance, we would need around $9,500 from the seller, and that's negotiated with your real estate agent. That would then go as kind of a, it, basically, they're going to be paying that fraction of your payment for the first year or first 2 years. And then if you refinance, depending on when you refinance within that period of time, you can get that money credited back to you. So that's all the kind of inflation buster program is. It's a 1-0 buy down, meaning the first year is 1% lower. And then the next year it goes to the note rate, compared to a 2-1 buy down.
Good explanation.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Jack ID 1234 said my rent went up $800 since 2020. Is that $800 per month? Wow. That's tough.
That's
You know
crazy, man.
what's frustrating on the rent side too is that for these landlords, their home value isn't increasing. Not the home value. From 2020 to
Their
now,
mortgage isn't
yeah, I
moving.
think that's what I'm trying to say. Their mortgage payment isn't increasing. Even though home
Not at
values
all.
are increasing, their mortgage payment isn't. And so what's happening is since home values are increasing around, and the cost to buy a home, either through renting or purchasing, is increasing. They increase their rent relative with the home value increase. And so that I think is one of the more frustrating things is the mortgage payment isn't increasing. I'm sure property taxes and insurance are going up a slight amount, but not accelerated in the same way as the home price.
Well, everybody keeps, I'm waiting for interest rates to come down or housing prices to come down, so there's not that big of a gap in my differentials of my payment. Well, the landlord knows that. So they're going to be at the point where every time they can renew, they're going to jack it up because they know house prices are higher, interest rates are higher. So if you go to buy a house, that cost is substantially higher. So they can keep moving their rents up, and because there is somebody right behind you that wants to rent that place if you don't rent it. So everybody renting right now is getting in a big pinch. And now you can just see, even the person that explained something at the beginning of the video said they're putting in luxury apartments in areas. You guys are going to get pinched at some point where all the property is going to, I know it's not going to happen, but everything's going to be bought up and you're going to be forced to basically rent because everybody's saying house prices are going to crash. So what are you going to do? So I keep pleading to people, look at your housing payment. I don't care, again, if it's rent or a mortgage, look to do something and can you afford it to go up 10% a year? And if not, call us. We'd love to try to help you with down. There's down payment assistance programs out there. There's other grant programs. There's ways we can, get seller credits and things like that to help you get into a property. And that's what we want you guys to do. Call us and just get educated on us. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that you just don't realize.
Free your
Sorry, and
mindset, Sydney.
I sound really like sales pitchy tonight, don't I? Sorry.
That's what we're here to do. Answer questions and kind of help people understand how we can help. New York City has the worst landlords as the rent. Extremely bad living conditions. Buildings are crappy, dirty, heat and hot water issues. And sounds like $4,000 gets you a box in New York City. Unfortunately, that sounds to be the case. Sweet PB 100, my rent went from 2450 to 2950. This is Howard County, Maryland.
That's 20% increase. So it seems like everybody's rent's going up like 15, 20%.
Yeah, minimum. Let's see. Sandra, you said I bought your max payment calculator today. I love it. Awesome. Question on Home Ready, Home Possible income limit. If I'm under based on salary, but over with overtime, how does that get figured? If we can qualify you on just salary, we can actually exclude the overtime on Home Ready and Home Possible. Keep that in mind though, you still have to qualify based on the salary, making sure that the mortgage payment can fit inside that with your debt to income ratio. But as long as that's the case, we don't have to include the overtime. Let's see. Michael, I'll get to your question here in just a second. I want to hop back up here because I missed a couple people. Akshay said, such great content. My rent went from 1500 to 2000 in Salt Lake City. Question, if I'm saving cash in a high yield savings account, do I need to transfer it to my checking account before getting pre-approved? You do not. Don't transfer it. You will be perfectly fine with that in there. Jaden said 800 credit score, recent college grad, zero debt, only 5,000 saved with a $42,000 salary in Massachusetts. Any first time home buying programs to help with the down payment? Dan, would you like to take that?
Yes, and that's what I'm actually working on as we speak. So just I'll kind of pull the curtain halfway back. We do have some exciting news coming out, I think in the next 24 to 48 hours, or if I don't get it out there, it'll be Monday. But there's a couple down payment assistance programs that we're actually going to roll out. If you guys watch a lot of my videos and Kyle's videos, you know that we're against a lot of them. And the reason being is they're not good for you. Okay. So what happens in most cases, you're going to get 2% of the purchase price of the house. To get that grant, though, it's going to cost you 1,200 bucks, and then it's going to cost you maybe 1 or 2 points, so 2% to get that into that program. So your net to you might be a couple hundred bucks, and that is truly most of them, not all of them. We found one that's purely a grant. You walk out of the closing, and it is forgiven. It is done. It's over with. You have to make 6 payments. After that, you can refinance into a lower rate because this down payment program that we're offering you to give you the down payment assistance comes with a rate is about a 1% higher than the standard rate today. But again, it's going to be coupled with an FHA loan. So after you make 6 payments, we can then refinance you to the current rate at that time. And unless rates continue to rally up you know, another point or point and a half or 2 points, which I don't foresee at all, you'll be in a good position. So basically, you know, you'll get virtually free money at closing to use as your down payment or closing costs if you need them. So if you would do the consultation with us, and the sales staff knows about all these, so we're not launching it, you know, completely out, but set up a consultation. All of the salespeople will know about it by tomorrow. They'll be able to help you guys out, at least get your applications started.
First-time home buyer here. I have a debt-to-income ratio of 45%. I have credit card debt of $12,000. I already paid a down payment of 3%. So I'm guessing that was probably like an escrow deposit that you put in. For my $450,000 home closing on May 1st, should I pay an additional 2% down payment or 3% down payment and clear off my debt? Really, I would take a look. If you're looking at doing 5% down, talk to your lender about if you can get a quote at 5% down. Would that affect your interest rate? It's possible that going to 5% down might give you a slightly better interest rate. When I mean better, I mean like maybe an eighth of a percentage. Nothing super crazy. What I would be mainly concerned about if I was in your situation is on a $12,000 credit card, you're probably running around with an interest rate, I would assume, in the 15 to 20% range, kind of depending on where your credit score is at. That interest is going to continue to accumulate. I personally do not like I don't have credit card debt. I don't like it because it's so expensive to hold credit card debt. What I'm afraid of is if you purchase the home, you have 3% down, I'm sorry, you do 5% down, you don't pay off the credit card, you're going to have other expenses when you move into your home. I'm afraid that the credit card might be neglected a little bit. I would personally pay down the credit card to lower the amount of interest that you're going to be paying on that, because putting the extra money into the home for the down payment at the moment isn't likely going to offer you the same amount of savings that you'll find on paying off the credit card.
Good job.
Orlando said rates will continue to go up. Let's see. Oh, wait. You asked a question up here.
Forever.
Forever. Wow.
Those are the comments. Like, okay, to what and why? But I don't even want to go there.
Hello, everyone. I'm new. Let's see.
What's their name? We can welcome them.
It's Wow.
A Wow?
No, it's just Wow. W-O-W. Wow.
Hello.
Dan can't see the screen.
Everybody. Hello.
I was going to go with FHA or USDA. I'm 28 and I'm working on my credit score now. I want to get my credit score to at least 700 so I can get a good loan. So conventional loans start at a 620 credit score. Really, conventional is going to be your best option if you have a 680 and above. That's what I would shoot for. Of course, the higher you go, the better interest rate you're going to get on a conventional loan. What's really interesting, and we should probably cover the FHA changes here in a little bit.
Yeah,
FHA is.
I was just gonna kind of counter what you were saying there, because you got that email today, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So okay. FHA is lowering their mortgage insurance monthly, and we can cover that here in just a second. We have quite a few questions coming in, so I'm going to try to speed this up. But USDA is a really great loan for someone who's looking at 0% down, and so that could be a really good option if you are maybe wanting to get in with as little money down as possible. But keep up the great work, and we're glad you're here.
Awesome. Let me spin off of that while you're looking at another question real quick.
Yes.
So FHA just announced, and we were trying to post, I think we posted a video this evening, that FHA is slashing their mortgage insurance. So just to give you a quick little caption of what happened is, FHA, when you do an FHA loan, you get mortgage insurance. I don't care if you put down 50%, you're still going to have mortgage insurance for a certain time frame. They reduce their monthly factor from 0.85 to 0.55. So it's irrelevant kind of what those numbers are, but to a point. But we did an analysis this evening, and that's what prompted me to do this video, is we ran a client with a 720 credit score. They were buying a $450,000 home, and it wasn't their first time home buying. They had a house in the past, so they needed to put down 5% of a down payment. So they had a 720 credit score, 5% down if they went conventional, okay, on a $450,000 house. They had a 720 credit score. Then we ran that same scenario through FHA, okay? When it evaluated, with a 720 credit score, they took a couple hits on the conventional side. Their rate, especially the rates where they are today, is 7.25. Their rate on the, or I'm sorry, 7.125. Their rate on an FHA loan was 6.25. So almost a full percentage difference, okay? But because of the reduction in the PMI, your payment would run you $240 cheaper by going FHA because of the rate and the PMI factor, the new factor that they just did, than having a 720 credit score with putting down 5%. And again, FHA, we went 3.5% down, putting down 5% with the new ways that they create or they factor in interest rates. And if you don't understand those, please watch more of our videos. But in the past, usually if you came to me and said, Dan, I have a 720 credit score, 40 debt ratio, this, I'm like conventional all day long. We're reevaluating those as we're sitting here. Cause we're running numbers all the way up until basically we start doing this video. And in most cases, FHA is going to be a better product for you in 2023. And I never thought I'd be saying that even with somebody with the 700 credit score.
It's going to be interesting. I'm going to update my calculators and run through some of those situations on some upfront videos. Let's see. JP just said, just checked Bigger Pockets. They're saying that we might hit the bottom. I'm leaving. Bigger Pockets is an investing website, so I'm sure they would love to to have any narrative that helps there. I'm investing in New Jersey here. I think we hit our top, not bottom. What do you think? We don't have any opinions on that because we're not in New Jersey. And real estate, even in New Jersey, is all local. Even in any – what's a state in New Jersey? I'm not a state. What's a city in New Jersey?
Drinking.
No. What's a city in New Jersey? Why can't I?
Is it Newark? Or is that Newark, New York? No. Newark, New Jersey, isn't it? It tells you how much. I would pass. Newark? I wouldn't pass. You ever watch those YouTube videos, how dumb people are at geography? I would look like a complete idiot.
Am I going to tell my embarrassing geography story? No, I won't tell my embarrassing. Real estate is hyper local. And so when you're talking about like New Jersey as a whole, it's not helpful to look at like just New Jersey's numbers. You want to look at like, what are the city numbers that are happening? And then also what's happening in these local pockets, especially if it's a bigger city.
And it's going to run home by home. Some houses are going to be much nicer than the next one. The other one might be in distress or they might have to sell it. These people, you know, they've already made a ton of money. They don't have to sell. So it boils down to, you know, the home in many cases. But yeah, those areas that had, you know, 50, 60, 70% increases in 2 years, you know, are they going to get hit? Yeah, probably. But I will take a 70% increase over that last 3 years and give back 20 than to have, you know, nothing. Because you're still ahead of the game.
Hey, Anita, so we have down payment assistance programs throughout the U.S., so not just specifically in Georgia. I just had a question here, and I lost it where it went. Oh, there it is. Okay. Michael, you said, I've been working as a travel physical therapist for about 1 year now. I was working full-time before that. Took a full-time job, starts in April. Do I have to wait 2 years after April to qualify with my new income? No, as long as that new job is going to be you know, like a W-2 job, then you will be fine to be able to start. You don't have to have that 2 year wait period. Wow said, I was told I need to go with a broker. Is that true? That sounds like a broker told you that. So there's multiple different types of lenders. And, you know, to be frank, like I used to kind of be on that train where I was like, you know, I was a broker and I was like, you have to go with a broker because I was a broker and that, you know, made sense. I just don't really think that's the case anymore. Ultimately, I think you want to go with a lender that's going to one that you trust and feel comfortable with. And then one that actually explains things to you. And, you know, I like to steal Dave Ramsey's lines, like has the heart of a teacher. Because you want to be able to ask questions and know that you understand what's happening and someone's going to explain things to you during the process. I don't think the type of lender that you go with is going to make or break what's happening because different types of lenders work well with different types of scenarios. So I don't think going with one specific one is going to give you the best option. Let's see. Oh, man, it's sometimes hard to find the next question when I'm jumping back and forth. Let's see. Let's
Sorry, I
see.
can't help.
Market Mania said brokers are more crooked for sure. I'd be interested in that. You have a Canadian flag, and I'm curious if you're talking about the Canadian real estate market. We're in the US. Wouldn't a broker have numerous options where a small bank is limited to 3 to 4 decent rates programs? Often, yes. And so it really just depends, though. So for instance, like we work as a bank, but we broker most of our loans. So there are a lot of banks that offer or also do the same thing. There are a lot of direct lenders that also do the same thing. And they have different private institutions that they use. So they might be working on like multiple different like correspondent lines. They might work with brokering some of their loans. They might have in-house products as well. So it really just depends. I feel like at this point in the real estate world, there isn't one type of lender that functions in one exact way. There's all these different options that function in between those. For instance, like your credit union, the credit union local to me, they just directly refer out all of their loans to another company. And so everyone thinks that it's in-house, but it's not. It goes through some other national agency. And then some of their other loans they'll keep in-house for portfolio loans, and then other loans they'll broker. So there really isn't a good category, I feel like, at the top that explains exactly what's happening on the back end. It's better just talk with a loan officer about, could you help me understand your programs? Where do you get them from? And where does your pool of money come from? Explore Virginia said, are you offering USDA loans in Virginia? Yes, as long as it's in a USDA eligible area. Yes. And you can Google USDA property eligibility map, and that will come up for you. Let's see some questions that I missed here. Free Your Mindset said, what savings suggestions, Dan, do you want to take this one? What saving
Go ahead, Cliff.
suggestions do you have for saving quickly for a down payment? My boss told me to take out a loan to have money on hand. Ooh, but I don't want to get into debt for more debt.
So it was money for a down payment? Or what's it? What?
It just says my boss told me to take out a loan to have money to have more money on hand,
No,
which
don't do that.
I
Unless you need
don't
the money, you're going to pay interest on money just to sit there. I would highly suggest we got your back on this. When I talk to clients, it would be like I'm thinking to myself, where would I put my money? Where do I need the money or so forth? So to answer your question, what do you need the money for? And it's for if it's for your down payment, the first place I would look, and a lot of people just disregard this, is your 401k. If you have a retirement account, some of you guys might, some of you might not. If there's money in there, see how much you can get, you can borrow against it. Okay, you don't want to take a distribution. You don't want to take a withdrawal from that. You want to see how much money you can get lent to you out of your money, because it's basically you're taking your money yourself. So the good news behind that is you pay it back to yourself, and it doesn't count against you. Like if you were to go out and get a $10,000 personal loan or whatever, put it in the bank, you're going to pay interest on it, and the rate you're going to probably pay on that is probably going to be about 20%. So that's crazy. It's going to just sit there. You don't need it now. So why do it? So I would look at that, and if you don't, unfortunately, the best way to do it, just try to save as much as you can. But still, if you really, really want to looking to buy a property, and you've been on your job for time, you can qualify with that and your credit and everything else. Call us, maybe we might have some ideas. You can get money, maybe mom and dad have some money they can lend you or gift to you, or you might have something over here or whatever. But I mean, I don't want you to go out and rob a bank. But just schedule a consultation with us, and we might be able to come
Yeah,
up with
no
some
robbing.
ideas. Like I talked to a young man today. He's got 30 properties, and he's like, I'm running out. I can't get. I want to buy more, but I can't get people to finance me. And every one he has only like 50% loan to value on each property, so he's in great financial shape. But a guy with 30 properties, I'm even he. He's calling me for ideas, and I gave him like 3 or 4 ideas, and he's like, never thought of that. So we can also come up with ideas to help you, and maybe even help. And educate your realtor as well, just on some things that they might not even know. So we can work as a whole team with you and for you.
Steven said, you have to look at the micro markets inside of the market.
Yeah.
And that I think that was in reference to our New Jersey conversation, which Yeah, it's absolutely true. Definitely make sure that you're
it's like
familiar
that
with.
anywhere.
Cool. Let's see. Michael Beckson said, "Thanks for answering my question. My wife will be applying with me. She went back to nursing school for 1 year and is now working. Does she have to wait till the end of the year to apply with me?" If you're wanting to use like her future income, then yeah, you'll need to wait so she has the income and then use that. But no. And what you can do as well is she doesn't have to be on the loan. She can be on the title with you without being on the loan. So she'll have ownership in the property without having to go through the application process so that you don't have to count her debts in your mortgage application.
Did he say that she is working?
She went back to nursing school and is now work oh yeah you're right
Yeah,
and is
so
now
she can
working
qualify because we can use her studies, her transcripts as basically work experience. So like if you're just out of college and God bless you, you just signed a deal and you're working, making 80 grand and you got money in the bank and want to buy a home, you can. Because your college or your education counts as work experience.
Good catch on that, Dan.
Sure, no problem.
Sometimes I'm miss those little like
I was shaking my
parts.
head no. You said yeah, and I'm like, okay, I think I have a question. So my bad, I wasn't trying to contradict you.
Harrison Ford, new here. Y'all are amazing. My down payment is saved in multiple bank accounts. Will I need to consolidate? No. Or just need to cut checks from each account. How does a bank get my down payment on closing day? Usually, what's going to happen is you're going to wire those funds to the title company or settlement company. And yeah, you can wire them from those separate accounts. It does become a little bit of a pain. What I would do is, depending on where you're at in the process, I would go ahead and talk to your loan officer and tell them, hey, my money's in these separate accounts. What would you like me to do? That would be the easiest documentation-wise. Know on your side that you're not going to run into an issue. Even if you do consolidate those into one account, it's fine. The underwriter just needs to see the statements from each of those accounts showing the transfer. So ultimately, you're going to be fine. What you just want to find is what's the path of least resistance,
Yeah.
so you don't have all this documentation needed. Zoo Graphics said, "Hi there. Question: can I assume a VA loan if the house is in foreclosure? I'm a civilian, and what are the steps to follow?" That's going to be up to the VA and the whoever's servicing that loan. If it's in for like active foreclosure, I doubt they're going to allow you to assume the loan. I'm
You'd
not
probably have to
100% certain on that.
current. You might have to bring it current, and that might be a lot of money.
Yeah, that's very possible. Do you think the price of homes will continue to go up? I have no clue. Jennifer said side hustles and cut expenses.
First
Market
thing,
main.
how to get money fast. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking.
Talking about both countries, they're more likely bend the rules or direct you to a place that help you bend the rules. They're more moral hazard. I haven't seen that to be true. If you have like a specific scenario, I'd be interested in hearing that. Wow said, "I love that USDA lets you put your closing costs with your loan." Kind of, in some situations, if your appraised value is more than the purchase price, you can use that money. You can increase your loan amount to help pay down your closing costs. So, for example, let's say you're buying a $300,000 home. It appraises at 305. You could increase your loan amount $5,000 to help pay down your closing costs. Cherry Head said, "Huh?"
No other program does that.
Yes, that is very unique. I've only been able to do that, I think,
I
only
did it one
once.
time. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because it came in higher, and I was like, "Wait, just so you know that this is an option if you want to take it." Okay, started buying in August of 20, and no closing date because the city has to build water and sewer infrastructure. Is this a new build? Closing costs have went from around 5,000 to over 10,000 on a $200,000 home with credit over 8,000. So in those instances where closing costs increase, it's possible that the initial estimate you got for closing costs were too low, because you get a loan estimate in the beginning. It has the word estimate in it for a reason. The government has rules to make sure that that estimate is as accurate as possible, But unfortunately, there are some items that can be excluded or maybe not intentionally put on there that can make your closing costs seem lower than they actually might end up being. So in those situations, just talk to your loan officer and say, hey, I got this document in whenever time for $5,000. Now it's $10,000. Explain the difference. Yeah. It's really that simple. Ask them.
Question mark.
Yeah. And you can do, what you can do is like, page 2 of your loan estimate is going to have your closing cost details. There's going to be sections A through J. I think there's an 8. J. Am I right? Is it J?
I don't know. I can tell you exactly where it is, but I can't tell you how many buckets there are.
And go through section A to section A. What are the differences? Section B to section B. Section C to section C. That way you can actually see what changed. That way you understand what's happening and they can correct anything in there if they need to. Kevin said, fiance and I just graduated, first time homebuyers. We'll be putting 20% down by next year. We expect to be able to pay off the mortgage within 4 to 5 years. Any advice on best money saving options for us?
I probably do, because I have a degree in economics. I do my own portfolio and investing and everything else, and Kyle does too. But I don't even want to dive down that path because there's too many legalities, especially when it comes to YouTube. It's really hard and difficult to talk about those things. But the market right now is
like a financial advisor.
Yeah, the market right now is like throwing darts at. I've never seen the market, this volatile, maybe a couple times in my lifetime. Even like gas prices. I bought gas the other day at $3.20. I'm driving home tonight and they're like $3.89. It was just 2 days ago. Even gas prices are just, everything's all over the board. So, good luck. I would don't watch YouTube to invest, how to do Bitcoin and all that stuff. Maybe open up with Charles Schwab and go to Charles Schwab and talk to somebody down there who really knows what they're doing. They might put you in like an index fund or something like that. That's safe.
I'm curious if when they say like best money saving options, if they're necessarily talking about like investing in the market or if they're talking about paying down their mortgage within 4 to 5 years.
Oh, my bad. Here's my philosophy on that. I'll tell you, and this is, I'm completely different from Dave Ramsey, kind of like what Kyle was just saying. I still have a mortgage
house. Wait, hold on. They said advice on best mortgage options since interest rate isn't a concern.
Well, if you're going to pay it off in 5, 6, 7 years, do a 10-year loan. I mean, you're going to get a fantastic rate. Well, not fantastic in today's market, but a fantastic rate, the lowest rate that you could possibly get, or maybe you look at a 5 or 7 year ARM. So I would compare like a 10-year fixed to a 5 or 7 year ARM and just take the cheapest route that way. Or if you want to just be safe, just letting you know, God bless you, you're just out of college and everything's clicking, you got money down, whatever. I always say this to my kids and my nephews and everything else. In your life, God's going to throw you a curveball, and it depends on how bad that curveball is going to be. But you're going to have one in your life, hopefully just one. You're going to have many.
Most people have already been hit with like 3 curveballs nationally. COVID.
Yeah, put yourself in a position now that you would be able to afford it if some bad things happened. So like in my case, I took a 30-year mortgage on my house and I refinanced 2 years ago. I got a rate at 2.5%. My goal or my thoughts is I could gain more in the market by using the money I would have paid down on my mortgage. I can have my opportunity costs and gain more in the markets than I'm paying in on my mortgage. So I apologize if I messed up the answer, but hopefully I gave you a couple different options there.
Well, and there's already been like 3 curveballs for everybody this past couple of years. You have like COVID, increase in interest rates, super high inflation, and also on the edge of recession, lots of curveballs have already been happening one after
and
the other.
It's relentless. I mean, they're not just little waves anymore. The extremes since COVID, the shutdown of the world, everything has been just amplified.
Rodrigo said, how high can closing costs go? My lender gave me a rough estimate with 7% interest on an FHA loan at 3.5% down for a $500,000 home. Are they robbing me at $30,000 for closing costs? Really, there's no one standard trick that you can use to figure out, like, am I overpaying on closing costs? Because what's not factored into this is, like, for instance, what are your taxes? Because taxes are going to make up a large part of your closing cost if they're going to be in an escrow account, which they have to be on an FHA loan. So also, how much taxes are included in this escrow account? There's all these different considerations. Really, the best way to figure out to make sure that the closing costs are as low as they can be is to compare your quote to another quote. So if you look in the description of my this video, I have a link that you can actually upload your quote. What we'll do is we'll compare it to 80 different lenders. We'll find the best one and then walk through that line by line with you to see, is there a better option here? Or is this kind of what's made up inside the deal? Like, this is what's required for that specific property. $30,000 in closing costs just from the start sounds extremely high. But I also don't know the situation of what's going into that. And that's really what we have to take a look at first. Rodrigo said, I have no taxes. That's probably the issue. Well, there's property taxes. I'm curious as where there's not property taxes.
Is this the young man that's talking about his loan estimate or his costs? Yeah. Yeah. The best thing to do on that is honestly to upload it to Kyle's loan estimate, basically quote center. Me or my business partner, we analyze those. Either one of us will get right back to you. So what we're going to do is, what I try to have people do is get us the most recent quote you can. Like tomorrow, just say, hey, can you tell me what my loan estimate would be today? Okay, then get that over to us, all right, immediately. So now we can compare apples to apples. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Rodrigo said, I mean not providing the 2 years of taxes. So when I talk about taxes in the escrow account and the taxes being paid as closing costs, it's your property taxes. So usually what's going to be required is a few months of property taxes saved inside of an escrow account that every lender is going to require on an FHA loan, because the lender will pay your property taxes for you. Likely it's going to be a semi-annual payment for property taxes. Instead of you having to pay a 6-month bill twice a year, you'll pay monthly to the lender. They'll set it in an escrow account and then they'll pay the taxes for you. But when you close on your home, they're going to require a kind of cushion in that account of property taxes. So if taxes are, you know, in Dan's neck of the woods, you know, sitting around $1,000 a month, and a lender asks for 6 months of taxes in an escrow account, well, that's $6,000 added to your closing costs. So that's why, like, some of those taxes can make an impact. You also might have transfer taxes that you're paying. There's all these things that can go into closing costs, and we can take a look and help explain what's going on in your situation.
And that's exactly what we do with that loan estimate thing. But what I was getting at is, many times you might be, you know, well, here's my challenge to you guys. If you want to do your shopping, you know what we do. We're actually a federally chartered bank, and we're a broker with over, I think we have like 87 lenders now. So we're going to scan your loan through our system as well as the 87 other lenders, so we can offer their programs and their rates. So what I challenge you to do is go out there and find the best one you can do. Okay. And then stop. Just get one. Get it back to us. Let us go through that whole thing. And if we can beat it, just stick with us. Because if we can beat it that day, we're going to be able to beat it every day. But we're going to have all these options for you. Okay. So, you know, one day one company might raise their rates a little bit because they want to slow down business or make more profits. One day somebody might have a special. One day something else. So we can scan it on a daily basis. But the best way to do this, instead of you guys getting 100 quotes, just get one. Send it in to us if you want to get one. But we're going to do all that for you guys, okay? But so upload, if you would, the loan estimate into the link there. We'll get back with you tomorrow and let you know exactly if you're getting hosed or can we do much better. Come on.
The star of the show. Oh, you can't see her. There we go. Little poke around. Okay, so Cherry Head said, I did look over and compare, but they have added discount points and are telling me I can't remove them. So likely what's happened is your interest rate was floating. probably still is. Maybe they locked it recently. And so when an interest rate is floating, that means it's going to change along with fluctuations in the market. So I know you talked about I think you started this process in 2020. So over the past 2 years, interest rates have changed quite a bit. So likely what's happening is, I'm assuming a lot here, you were quoted at one interest rate and that may not have had any discount points with it. And then over a period of the past couple of years, as interest rates have gone up, maybe they kept the same interest rate, but you're paying points for the interest rate now. So what you can do is you can actually have your interest rate increased to go back to the same amount of points that you were paying in the beginning. But when you are floating a rate and it's not locked because you're waiting for a long period of time until you can close, unfortunately, your interest rate will change with the market. Quite a few lenders will offer up to like 180-day lock. Those are options. You can also do like 90-day, 60-day, 15-day locks. But that's likely the issue that you're running into. I'm drinking a Cab Sav. I forget who asked that question. And Dan's got some, I don't know where Dan's getting all his vintage sodas from. I like the little lizard on there. It's like a little salamander or something.
Gecko.
A gecko.
It's a gecko.
Is it? How do you know that? How do you know it's a gecko and not a...
if somebody sent you a C. Graves beer, wouldn't you look it up?
You're right.
To figure out more about it. They went defunct. So if anybody's in Texas and you can find me a Frio Brewery shirt or sweatshirt or something, I'd love it.
Do you think you could drink that? Would that kill you?
My brother had. They sent us, I think, like a case of beer. So I sent some to my brother. He tried it. He said it tastes like crap.
Well, it's like, what, 50 years old?
Oh, dude, this is probably 20.
Yeah.
But you guys remember this one?
So is that the year that it was bottled?
Yeah. Well, when my dad passed... I was back at the house, you know, about 6-8 months ago, and we were going down through the basement. I found a whole box of bottles of stuff. I got Steeler stuff, Cowboy stuff, like vintage things from the 60s and 70s. These aren't even opened, so I don't have a clue what they're worth. And they're like perfect. He just had them on a shelf forever. My sister got married 40 years ago, 50 years ago. He still has bottles of liquor from her wedding that's never been opened.
Wow.
So it was kind of a cool find.
Interesting. There are a lot, yeah. I mean, that, I feel like that's very collectible. There are a lot of people
It's a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Well, for your mindset said it might taste better now. I'm going to say, probably not. Even if it tastes great, it's probably going to kill you. I don't know that you should drink that. It's got all kinds
pretty
of
cool,
like,
though.
It is. Cool.
I never knew
all kinds of yeast.
I think there's a Frio County too, if I recall. I'd love to go down there sometime just to. You imagine giving your ID to somebody at like a restaurant or something? They say Dan Frio, and it's your like at the Frio restaurant or whatever. I don't know.
Maybe they'll give it to you for free. Cool.
Yeah.
Reckless Cage said my credit score is in the 800s. I basically have zero debt to income, 5% down. My lender has only ever mentioned conventional. Can I benefit from FHA's new guidelines more than conventional? It's possible. I would get a quote just to double check. Your big issue with FHA is still going to be that the mortgage insurance is going to be on there for the life of the loan, whereas on a conventional loan, it's going to fall off. The only at 20% equity, the only instance in which an FHA loan is going to have its mortgage insurance come off is if you put 10% down. Then it will fall off after 11 years. Other than that, you're stuck with the mortgage insurance for the life of the loan unless you refinance. So that's the only consideration I would have in there for you. But yeah, absolutely get a quote for FHA too and take a look. And if it's better, great. Or if it's worse. I still need to go through and update my loan comparison calculator that will show the long-term impact of some of these decisions, which is probably going to take me another week to go through. Because VA also decided to change their stuff, and that now means I have to go back through and reprogram everything.
Yeah. Just so you guys know, guys, this happened just today.
Yeah. No dodgy coin?
No. That's Elon Musk's big thing, Dogecoin.
Is he
It's
still
a
on the Dogecoin thing?
yeah, he pumped it last week. I think it took a
I
pump.
get really.
He mentioned it something and it went up like 20% and whatever.
Oh, I thought that was a one and done thing.
Yeah, no, it's still there.
Okay, let's see. No taxes. We answered this one. Cassandra said these curveballs have made me take a mental step back. Totally get it. I think sometimes it's really easy to get a little overwhelmed in the whole cycle of what's going on. And I had to do that recently. Dan, do you ever get to the point where you're like, I'm on the computer so much and everything in your life just feels like virtual and it's constant information. And
Yeah,
even if it's
I had that
not
as well.
bad.
Well, that's, I mean, I remember I was doing a video every day, and then you actually said, stop. You know what I mean? Because I'm thinking
Yeah.
everybody needs to know what's going on with the interest rates every second of the day, and I was obsessed with it. And then you finally said, dude, you got to stop. Do something else. And I put that information productively. And like today, I came up with three videos that Kat's working on. She's editing it, and I think they're going to be really educational videos.
Yeah.
Thanks for that feedback.
Yeah, it's just amazing sometimes. It's like we put ourselves in this cycle, and I think our brains are so wired, from a survival mechanism to always keep looking at like, I gotta keep refreshing and seeing what's going
Yeah.
on. And I jump from app to app to see, even if it's not about housing and real estate, even if it's just about, no matter where you're at, your brain is constantly evaluating where am I at compared to this other person, and everything feels like it's at stake in that moment. And sometimes it's like you gotta put stuff down. And take a break from it and allow yourself like, yeah, if it becomes overwhelming, like, great, let's take a weekend off or a week off. Sometimes I talk to people about like, just tell your realtor, hey, we need to take a little bit of a break or we're gonna go crazy.
Yeah.
Like pause the email notifications for a week, or whatever, just to get a little bit of sanity back. Because there's this, if you're constantly in this like survival mode, you're not going to make a good decision, right? The thought, somehow our brains are like, well, maybe a house is going to pop up in that one moment, I'm going to miss out. You're not going to make a good decision if you feel strung out and stressed the entire time. And if you need to pull back, regroup, get a little more centered, you're going to make a lot better decisions, when you get back into the home buying world.
You're like Confucius.
do I have to have an escrow account on an investment loan? You do not. And on conventional loans, if you put 20% down, you can waive the escrow account. Same with thing with VA loans, but actually it's 0% down with certain lenders. Ricolas Cage. I love this username. If the lender affiliated with the builder has already ordered an appraisal, is it too late to go with a different lender? Dan, take it away.
No, sir. In most cases, well, if you're doing an FHA or VA loan, we can automatically use that appraisal because the appraisal sticks with the house. But if you use a conventional loan, in most cases, yes, we can use that. And the reason being is when the appraisal's done in today's market, ever since the crash of about 2010, they put in legislation that you have to use appraisal management companies when ordering appraisals. You can't just call your buddy, Joe Schmo down the street that does appraisals and say, dude, I need this appraisal done. So you have to document it through this automated system and everything. So because of that documentation and everything, it's usually very easy to transfer those appraisals place to place.
Orlando said, do you think, Dan, this is a you question. Do you think China reopening will affect inflation? Also, how does that help or hurt mortgage interest rates?
I think the China opening up, the biggest dilemma we have right now, and I can talk about this for hours, but let's just go back. Why are we in the position we're in? In its simplest forms, just use economics 101, okay? And I'm not trying to be smart, is the world shut down, okay? So what happened was everybody, stopped producing stuff, okay? So think of that. All supplies and materials and production of things stopped. But people's income didn't. Most people continued to work. They were remote, they were this or that. And then there was PPP and extended unemployment and all these other benefits and the perk packages and everything. So people, if you look at some of my videos and some of my economic data, in 2001, we had the most ever consumer disposable income in history. There was more money at the consumer level than ever in history since they ever started reporting. And it's kind of cool how the chart goes here. It's a gradual increase. And then 2020 and 2021, it went whoop. And now it's all the way back to here. So what I'm trying to get at is you have way too much money chasing too few goods. So then the world opened up and then you had bottlenecks and supply chain issues and everything else. That should have fixed itself by now, but then comes in the Russia-Ukraine situation. So then that bottlenecked everything else. Now you have fuel problems, and now you have, believe it or not, between Ukraine and Russia, there's huge energy and huge fertilizer production there. So that messed up our food supplies and everything else. Fuel prices increased, food prices went up. So now we got all this money chasing these limited products and prices. That's why prices keep going up like this and this and this, because you have all this money and then a finite number of goods. So you have all this money chasing this. So until people stop chasing all these few goods, or the bottleneck unwinds, which China, their situation going on right now, if it all settles and everything gets back to production, that should help the supply chain issues a ton. And then believe it or not, China, they buy a lot of our stuff too. So that should start, free trading there. And then who knows what's going on with the Russia, China, Ukraine, and all this, the nuclear stuff now and the energy. The biggest fear that I have is energy prices just go out the roof because of everything going on. Because you got to look at, if oil goes up, the price of everything is going to go up. Because how do you plant stuff? Well, you use your tractors. How do you pull them out? You use tractors. You use trucks. You use this. You have to move those things everywhere. And it all moves on fuel and diesel fuel and everything else. So it's, I know I'm all over the map, but I just don't know, because there's so many moving parts. A couple of years from now, hopefully when everything settles, it'll settle back down. But it's just, the dust is all over in the air right now, and we've never ever in history been in this situation. So everybody's trying to predict, and nobody knows. I mean, everybody's just trying to give their take on it. And so much of it, like Kyle was saying at the beginning, you have to check their motivation behind this, because fear sells, unfortunately. But that's why we try to just tell you guys what's in our thoughts, what would we do? And that's what we try to explain. So hopefully I wrap that up into something useful. Did you fall asleep? Hello?
Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
You there? Yeah. I was like, did you fall asleep on me?
It muted for...
Why did it mute? That's all right. Huh. I know you muted me.
Hopefully everybody can still heard you, because I think you might have been muted too. Let me double check that this is still...
I'm on my phone and I can't touch anything.
Hey, don't blame this on me.
I'm the one...
He's not muted. Cool. Yeah, I don't know why it muted there for a second.
So hopefully that makes sense to everybody, but that's basically what has happened over the last couple of years. Where this is heading, nobody knows. I mean, nobody knows. It's all just... move this widget and see what happens. And move. I just wish the Federal Reserve would move a widget and let everything get time to adjust, and then look at the numbers again instead of just keep moving pieces. And then eventually it's like, oh shit, we overdid it, and everything falls in. Now you got to rebuild it again. And that's bad.
Well, I think the real problem that no one's talking about is you have all these like diva chickens charging sky high prices for their eggs. That's the real issue here.
Because they all got reality.
They think they're hot stuff.
And they think their eggs don't stink.
Yeah, they got to free range, and all of a sudden they think that they can charge whatever they want. Jennifer said, tell Dan about our calm moments. I think Dan's probably seeing the calm moment stuff. The only problem is when I would do those in videos, YouTube shows like how many people watch, or if they click off, it will look like this, and then it'd be like, bam, and like during that thing. So people said it was helpful, but viewership wise people dipped out, so I was like, I feel like I probably shouldn't do it anymore. Let's see, Randy Johnson, who is that
pitcher?
Did we talk? Do you know who, so you know who that is?
He used to be a pitcher for Houston, I think.
I don't know.
He was probably back in the 70s.
In the 70s?
He was in the
90s. 25 to life said electricity prices are going to be sky high in the next 5 to 10 years due to this electric car boom.
This is insane. Look at California. They can't even, in the summer, they have to cut all the electricity because they can't afford air condition. And I'm not bashing at California. I'm just saying. And now you want
really?
Every car to be plugged in. Can't happen.
Hmm.
I don't even want to go down.
Reckless Cage said that they're going to email you. Cool. Sweet. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up because normally we do 2 hours and we probably need to shorten these down a little bit. There's probably some questions that we didn't answer. You can book a consult here with our team at winthehouseyoulove.com. We do these live streams every week, Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. So we'd love to see you on the next one. And please check out Dan's channel as well. He has tons of videos on what's happening in the market and all new programs that we have as well, along with, I make videos too about what's going on with mortgages. So thank you so much for being here. We look forward to seeing you next week, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Take care. God bless. See you next time.